Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes.
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The crowd was singing High Hopes, smiling through a broken nose. Oh, High Hopes, High Hopes.
I feel a little less alone.
Welcome in a little solo edition of the High Hopes Podcast as the winter meetings have now wrapped up. A lot to get to, a lot of little news notes from the last day of the winter meetings that sees Garrett Crochet not join the Phillies. Last podcast, I kind of felt like that was public posturing to get the Phillies into it. You know, the Red Sox, I guess, we're in on Max Fried, and then they were talking about Corbin Burns, and they just pivoted and said, all right, whatever, we'll trade the prospects and bring in Garrett Crochet, and that's a big target that the Phillies won't have. So they exit the winter meetings, and I think the frustrating part of where we're at right now, and I think where the fan base is at right now, is like, what's the plan here? What's the plan for a step forward next year? Or do we have to start preparing for maybe a step back season, maybe a shed salary, free up some money? I don't know. I don't know. When the season ended, it felt like, okay, they know they have to shake up something here. They're bringing back the coaching staff. We're gonna make a move to the roster. We're gonna ship off a guy who's been here for a little bit, shake up the core. This team's kind of run its course, and we have to make some kind of difference making move to get this team moving in the right direction. And I know it's early. I get it, but it really feels like they're starting to legitimately lay the groundwork for we're gonna run this thing back. We're going to bring everyone back. We're not going to make a move here. Well, I would, obviously, they're going to probably sign a left fielder. I mean, that would be insane. Just absolutely insane. And if not, make a trade for it. I think Saya Suzuki is someone who, obviously, the big name is Kyle Tucker. I'd still be surprised. I'd be surprised if they got Kyle Tucker. Would obviously freak out, and I would pay him whatever. I think Kyle Tucker is an unbelievable baseball player and would really, really move the needle. But I think Suzuki's a really good fit for this team. Someone who, while there are some strikeout concerns, but he also does work pitchers. I mean, if you look at Savant, he's like 94th percentile in chase. So that's something they had to work on. He has some pop. I mean, in trading for a guy like Suzuki, you are trading for a 25 home run, 280-ish hitter, which I'll take at this point. So, sure, that could be out there or could not be out there. And if that, like, they're just starting to run out of situations where they can add a legitimate guy to move this thing forward. And again, I totally understand it's early, but at some point, you gotta make a move here. I mean, you have to make a move and pull the trigger on some kind of deal to where, yeah, you're gonna have to lose some prospects. And what frustrates me about where we're at with the whole prospect thing, and I mean, if you listen to this podcast, you know that I love prospects, and I think it's a really important sign of a healthy organization. But at the same time, you have to have confidence in the people in your building that are drafting players, that are developing players. You're starting to see in the last, I don't know, 3 years, a really, really meaningful step forward from that aspect. So you have to have confidence that you'll be able to continue to supplement talent in the minor league level that can be contributors at the big league level. I mean, they got Aiden Miller at 27. They got Justin Crawford at 18. They got Andrew Painter at the 14th pick. I mean, these aren't all top 10 kind of guys. And what frustrates me about this unwillingness to make a deal, and maybe the right trade hasn't materialized, and I just hope that one of these days they'll wake up and make some kind of meaningful trade here. But what frustrates me about the prospect thing is that I think they got really smart guys. We know we're a big Brian Barber podcast. We know that we're a big Preston Mattingly podcast. And while he's not directly involved in the player development system anymore, it's still sort of his vision. You know, Luke Merton has taken that over, and I hope he does a great job. But that it's the groundwork that Preston has laid, that Brian Barber has laid. And the thing about prospects is you get over them if the player you trade for is freaking awesome. And that's what I think Garrett Crochet would have been. I think Garrett Crochet, if he's on the Phillies, and do they need a starter? No. In a perfect world, would I like to trade a lot for a corner outfielder that's 28 years old and has multiple years of control? And I just don't know if that guy's out there. You know, I mean, Suzuki, I think, is a really good player. He's not a star. Kyle Tucker has 1 year left. Are you trading? I mean, God forbid, are you going to trade Aiden Miller for 1 year of Kyle Tucker? And are you signing him immediately? Or do you try to backload the deal so that you pay him as a less amount of salary early while you still have some of the other big money guys on the table? And then you backload it and you save some of the money, the big portion of that contract for later? I don't know. At this point, again, I'd be surprised. And if you're Kyle Tucker, you're a year away from free agency, you probably just go and try to get your money in free agency. So that's a huge risk. And given what's happened to the Yankees, I don't know if I'd want to go through that again. So in a perfect world, yeah, if that player was out there, go get him. But at the worst, in the worst case scenario, you could have gone and you could have traded for a guy who you pair with Zach Wheeler, you pair with the future, you know, with Nola and Painter and Sanchez as a front line, top of the rotation type arm and a force multiplier. You need studs in this day in baseball. And, you know, you get over prospects if you get a stud. Again, we went through this, and I think the Phillies are fearful of having to go through what happened after that again. But again, I think the organization is in a much healthier spot than it was after the run, after 2011, after 2012, to where they can bounce back if they do end up trading some prospects. But I mean, the biggest prospect they traded, listen, Darno's had a good career, so whatever. But, like, Carrasco was the best one. They traded almost everyone, it seems like. And I'm not a get-rid-of-the-prospects kind of guy. But you get over it if the major league level is really freaking good. And it's a 26-year-old lefty that I would be shocked if he's not in the Cy Young contention next year. Is there injury concerns? Yeah, but there's risk with everything. There's risk with every pitcher. There's risk in holding on to Andrew Painter. I wouldn't have traded Andrew Painter for Garrett Crochet, but you get the point. So I just think you get over prospects. I think you have to have some faith in the people that you have that are drafting and developing some of these guys, to where if you do make a move like that, then you can supplement that as you go through. So I'm frustrated from that point. I'm frustrated for the team in general. These are guys, we're entering into the last year of Kyle Schwarber. We're entering into the last year of JT Realmuto. Theoretically, they could re-sign those guys to the contract extensions that keeps them through, you know, next year and the following couple of years. But either way, this core is winding down. And Bryce Harper is still in the middle of his prime. Trey Turner's in the middle of his prime. There's a lot of these guys that are even the, you know, Alec Bohm, if he's still here, Stott. I mean, like Rojas is young, but other than that, we know that this is an older team. And is the plan here to extend the window as long as possible, or is the plan to try to bring home a ring? Because let's say that next year is a run it back, you save some money, you save the prospects, you take a, you know, you take a little bit of a step back. Am I to expect that with some of the money off the books that they're all suddenly going to be better as they get older? And the other thing that's a reality of the whole situation is, I mean, Andrew Painter throwing 120 innings this year feels like would be a huge win. Is he going to be ready for a big jump the year after? Possibly. I think so. You know, he should be. But if this whole thing is hinging on Aiden and Justin Crawford, there's going to be a natural learning curve, a natural adjustment period here to where, I mean, even if they come up and dominate, right, and they are one of those special prospects, the league usually adjusts back, and then you have to adjust back to the league. So it's almost like they're stuck in this situation where they have a good amount of older players, and then the young players that come up, there's this almost expectation that they're going to come up and be absolutely dominant from day one. And I just, and dominance a stretch. I realize that, but it could also take them a good amount of time to kind of find their footing at the major league level. So you only have so many shots at this thing to try to get it done. And when you see the Red Sox getting better, you see the Yankees getting better. Well, oh, Soto, but they're going to be aggressive and they're going to be good next year. We know that. You see the Mets add Soto. You know the Braves are going to be healthy. They have some, I think they have some monetary issues going on with the TV contract down there, so I don't know what they can do money-wise. But I, with Spencer Strider and Ronald Acuña getting back, I'm sure they're going to be better than they were last year. It's not like they were a disaster last year. They held that thing together for about as long as they could. Central's whatever. You know, the Brewers will be in there. They'll probably win the division, blah, blah, blah. But that, you know, there's no real title threat in the Central. And then you get to the West, and the Dodgers are a monster, and the Padres are a damn good baseball team. So unless you're again, step back off season, is that what we're doing with off of 95 wins and winning the NL East? And again, I hope, and I do understand that it's early, but between all the Bohm stuff that happened out of the winter meetings, between Rob Thompson talking, between Boris talking, it feels like we're setting up here for we're going to run this back. We've got a good ball club. We believe in these guys. And, you know, we'll save our powder for the deadline. I think the more and more that we have to hear about, okay, it'll be this deadline. Okay, it'll be this offseason. It'll be like you keep pushing it down the line, and you wake up one day and this run's just over. So I think what frustrates me so much in leaving the winter meetings, and, you know, Dave Dombrowski talked today to reporters, I guess, out in Dallas. And he alluded to the idea that, you know, they're close on a lot of things. And the quote to Corey Simon was, or the Corey Simon wrote earlier today, the Phillies had a couple of different trade conversations with teams that got quite heavy on Tuesday, but no deal was finalized. It's not as if they face a deadline, and many conversations from this week will continue into the holidays and the new year. Dave basically said, we don't need to rush this thing. We don't need to really, you know, just take a step back. Let's control our thoughts. We don't need to rush into making a move. Okay, great. But what I want to see is a course of action that shows me that you're serious about trying to win next year. And if it costs some prospects, and it costs, you know, monetary, whatever, You know, I just, it feels like they keep waiting for the perfect deal. They keep waiting for something to fall into their laps rather than be aggressive. And sometimes you got to accept that you're going to have to pay a little extra or you're not going to get the guy. And Dave Dombrowski knows that. He's been a GM forever. And identify the guy and go get him. But the thing that you keep coming up against is, who's that guy? Who's that player? And that's the predicament this team is currently in. It's really frustrating. And I know this has just been 15 minutes of rambling and trying to talk your way through it. But man, it's just deadline, sat out. Last offseason, sat out. This would be the third major thing that for the most part, they would be sitting out. And given how close this team has been, I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you do that. And maybe I was foolish. Maybe I was in the wrong. But I really expected, heading into this offseason, off of what transpired, because it was not just a bad week of baseball. And they have to understand that. It was not just a bad week of baseball. It was 2.5 months with a nice little blip in the middle against like the Marlins and the Nationals. For the most part, it was a 2.5 month skid. Before that, you clearly played over your skis. After that, regressed to the mean and clearly showed some deficiencies. Like, clearly. And if the, I'm going to blow a gasket if the plan is we're going to teach a bunch of 30-year-olds to hit the opposite way. That's okay in theory, but we got to start living in reality. And the reality is that's probably not going to happen. And I don't know how the fan, like, I know how we'll be. I know how the our community, the High Hopes community, listen, we love the Phils. We're not going anywhere. We're, you know, they could put out a 65-win baseball team. We're here. We're there. But for the rest of the fan base to, off of what they saw last year, you almost are getting to the point where, well, what's the point? You know, wake me up in September, wake me up in October, see if we're in this thing, and see if we can make some noise in the postseason. You wake me up on July 31st for the trade deadline. But who knows? At that point, they'll probably just say, it's not the right time. It's not the right time. There has to be a right time at some point. It can't just never be the right time to make a big deal. Like, it just absolutely cannot be. And man, it was not just a bad week. There is a fundamental flaw with this baseball team. They have enough talent. They have enough money. They have enough prospects. It's something's got to give here. At some point, you have to make a deal. You have to make a deal. And the other thing just is sticking in my craw as it's, you know, approaching 11 o'clock on December 11th. I like Jordan Romano as a bounce back option, but there's been a little too much talk about this guy's past and how he's one of the best high leverage guys in the sport. I know he was. We all know he was. But he got non-tendered. We don't know what that elbow looks like. It was obviously good enough to pass a physical, so great. I obviously hope that Jordan Romano is good, and I hope he's healthy, and I hope he can have a great season and get a big contract up after this season. But at the same time, and I think we felt this when they signed him, this felt like the fan base is saying, hey, decent little signing here. Internally, that's their closer. And I just think that's a huge, huge, huge risk. Huge risk. coming off an elbow injury, coming off not getting non-tendered, and just being like, hey, you're our closer. That's another huge, huge fear and a huge mistake. I mean, just a huge mistake. Can be a piece. And if he pitches well enough to be a closing option, fine. But for the love of everything, go get another bullpen arm. Whether it's Hoffman, whether it's one of the other, you know, good arms out there. There's a lot of interesting bullpen kind of arms out there. That cannot be it. I mean, that cannot be it. There, again, it's more, I hope they're viewing that more as a flyer than that's our guy. More of a flyer, not that's our guy. So, listen, it is, it's for me, and I think for you, and I think for, you know, speaking for Seltzer, and given that he's kind of been echoing this sentiment for a majority of the offseason, and he might end up being right, this is a very, very, very disconcerting time. To be a Phillies fan, it really is, and I guess the main message on this tonight is make a move at some point, like make a meaningful move. Do not run this back. Do not just think it was a bad week in October. It was so much more than that. There's a fundamental flaw of the baseball team, and you to just kind of kick your feet up again and sit on your hands and not shake this thing up, I think would be a colossal mistake. And for a majority of the fan base, not for us, but for a majority of the fan base, you are saying to them, yeah, we'll check back in later in the year. And it's not all about selling tickets. It's not all about, you know, generating buzz heading into spring training. If you play well, start of the season, you know, people will show up, and I think people will show up regardless. But man, I think there's a good amount of trust factor on the line here, and just a smidge of aggressiveness. You're never going to get a guy if you're trying to win every deal. It's as simple as that. You're never going to get a guy. And they passed on getting a guy who could be a difference maker today in Garrett Crochet. They're right there. They had a competitive offer, but they didn't get the job done because they're worried about winning deals. And man, I just, you can't run it back. That's the main message. You cannot run it back. A disappointing winter meetings. Dave said there were some irons in the fire. They were close on some things and they took a step back. Hopefully that materializes, but it's getting late. It's getting late early. I'd be shocked if they got Teoscar Hernandez. I think he wants to go back to LA. Tyler O'Neill already signed. Kyle Tucker feels like a massive long shot, given that it seems like the other packages might be more enticing. I mean, Suzuki is a really big, like a really big swing for this offseason. If they can get him, you feel pretty confident. If you don't get him, all of a sudden, we might be pressing the panic button. I don't mean to come on here and sound the alarms. I'm just frustrated. I wanted to see aggressiveness. I wanted to see a different tone. I wanted to see we're upset about how last year ended well, and I'm not feeling that. And I don't think you're feeling that too. I don't think that you're feeling that. Hey. You know, awesome. They were that close last year. They weren't that close last year. Their overall record masked what that was. And a frustrating week. Well, I think I've rambled enough. I think I've vented enough. So if you made it this far, appreciate you listening. I'm sure that we'll be back next week as hopefully they do something. Again, there's a lot of irons in the fire, according to Dave Dombrowski. Let's hope. Also, real quick, I thought it was pretty interesting that both him and Boris did the whole swing in the deep end thing. Could that mean Bregman? Could that mean, I don't know. But I thought that was kind of interesting that they both were using the same analogies on the same day. So that was a definitely an odd one. But either way, we'll be back to break it down if anything does happen. But I appreciate you listening to 25 minutes of a madman just mad at a baseball team. So either way, thanks for hanging out. New podcast will be out soon with Seltzer. And as always, thanks for listening.